So we have a few verses to read tonight. We're going to start with Psalm 90. I'm going to read from verse 10 to 12, and then we'll move to 1 Corinthians after that. So the first passage can be found on page 588 of the Black Church Bibles. So the first reading is from Psalm 90, verses 10 to 12. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. And then we'll move to the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll start with chapter 6, verse 12. So that is found on page 1134 of the Black Church Bible. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. So all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And then we're going to flick over a few more pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. So that's on page 1038. So verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up.
Good evening, everyone. It's great to be with you in God's Word tonight. We're beginning a new series tonight on Christian ethics called Gospel-Shaped Thinking, and we'll be doing this both in the morning and in the evening. This morning, Sean preached a wonderful sermon on AI, and I recommend you go and listen to it online. We record our sermons so you can listen to them later. But come along in person to as many of those as you can. I think that you will find them edifying, and it will help you to think through some very tricky issues that we're facing in society currently. I also want to encourage you to think about bringing a friend or family member to our evening service in 2 weeks' time on the 19th of July. And we're going to be having a Christmas in July event. So come along with your Christmas sweaters and bring a family or friend that doesn't know Jesus. And let's rejoice in Christ as his people. And as we do so, we pray that our family and friends would come to trust in Jesus and rejoice in him with us. Now, in tonight's sermon, we'll be unpacking and applying the Bible, but this sermon is topical, and it's not focusing on one particular Bible passage, but on multiple, which you've probably gathered from the Bible reading. And tonight, we're seeing what God's Word has to say about smartphones. Abby, if I point at you, that'd be the change. Thank you. Now, I'm extremely limited by the amount of time that we have tonight to cover this topic. So from the outset, I will not be able to touch on many facets concerning smartphones, such as some of the effects of smartphones, though I'm talking about some of them. I won't be talking about the manufacturing of smartphones. I won't be talking about the data collection of tech companies, and I won't be talking about the disposal of smartphones at their end of life, and a host of other things that are genuinely important for Christians to think about. At the end, I'm going to recommend some resources for you to go and explore further. Some of these things will be touched, but some things you might have to go and explore for yourselves. Raise your hand if you in this room have a smartphone. Almost everyone. Chances are that you are spending between 3 and 7 hours a day using that device. And you pick it up and use it between 50 to 100 times a day. Now, even if you think your usage is minimal, perhaps compared to the teenagers around you, go and turn on your screen time feature on your phone and track how much you use it over a week. I think you will be very surprised. More than 90% of adults over the age of 14 in the Western world have a smartphone. The statistics then show that if you use it about 3 to 4 hours a day, roughly a quarter of your waking life past the age of 14, or whatever age you first got a smartphone, is spent looking at or talking to that tiny glowing screen. And this isn't even to include any of the other screens in our lives. And why do we use it so much? Well, they're almost surreal and magical extensions of ourselves that can do almost anything. They're like the ultimate Swiss Army knife. And to quote Tony Payne, I'm going to point at you again, Abby. Oh, there we go. With the device in my pocket, I can do seemingly endless things. And new capabilities that it can achieve emerged constantly. It's a TV. It's a camera. It's a video camera. It's a watch, an alarm clock, it's a spirit level when I need one, a wallet, a bank, a photo album, a takeaway restaurant, it's a taxi stand and a train timetable, it's a diary, it's a post box, it's a torch, a map, a street directory, it's a department store, it's a gaming console, an encyclopedia, a calculator, a book, a library of books, a compact stereo system, it's a speed dating night. It's a movie, it's a newspaper, a magazine, it's even a dirty magazine. And should I also say, among all these other functions that are too numerous to mention, it's a phone. Now, it's not hard to understand why we spend so much time on the things. They're incredibly useful, both for good purposes and for indulging dangerous sin. But have you sat back and rather than just passively engaging with the technology, and adopting it uncritically into your everyday life, have you asked the critical questions? Should I be using a phone? Is it just a neutral tool like a hammer? Or is this technology somehow shaping me and engineered that way, though it's not immediately obvious? We need to ask questions like, how does my smartphone impact my rest? My relationships and social life, chiefly my worship, my heart. How is it shaping me, my physical health, my mental health? What is it doing to my brain? What are the unique temptations I face with a smartphone? Can smartphones be destructive, not just in indulging my sin, but in the habits that they form? What are the unique advantages of smartphones? Can I live without it? Should I live without it? Should I live with it? Is it genuinely good for me or genuinely bad or both? Is my use of my smartphone advancing my love for God and my neighbor? Well, I hope to be thinking through a lot of those things tonight, but for the ones we don't get to, I'll be sure to recommend books at the end to help us. I'm going to look at some of these things in this order. One, smartphones as grounded in creation. Two, smartphones as corrupted by the fall. Three, our relationship to smartphones as redeemed in Christ. And four, using smartphones as we long for heaven. So let's look at that first point now. Technology and specifically smartphones as grounded in creation. It's important that we first see the development of technology is actually a good gift of God. Grounded in creation. God created humanity in Genesis 1 and 2 to have dominion over the earth and to cultivate and develop creation. See Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. And God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And also Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. See, mankind is called to work and keep God's creation and have dominion. And the development of tools and technology to further that task is a wonderful God-given gift. And it's the output of being made rational, creative beings made in the image of our wonderful and good Creator. Tools and technology, as a category, as a broad category, they are not inherently bad. They are good gifts from God to be used for His glory. And note that last part. They are good gifts to be used for His glory. God made us to worship Him, to delight in Him, to cherish Him as our chief and highest and most glorious joy. And that's the picture that we get in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Man and woman in full communion with God, enjoying and delighting in him. And that's the picture as well at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, where all those redeemed in Christ Jesus are worshiping God without hindrance and in the fullest possible human expression for all eternity. And that's what awaits us Christians, and that's what we're all made for. And that is what technology and tools are to be used for. To quote the old summary of the Christian faith, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 1, what is the chief end or ultimate purpose of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So if that is our chief end, the goal that we're made for, then that is what everything we do should strive towards. Everything we do should strive towards that. All of our having dominion, our doing work, our cherishing rest, all of it is to be done to glorify God and to enjoy him in thankfulness to him for his goodness, in line with his creation order, and in worship of him as our chief delight. And that is to be the goal of all of our usage of technology and tools, including our smartphones. And there are many ways that our smartphones are tools that help us to live and work in worship of God as he intended. We have Bible apps on our phones. We have flashcard apps that help us to remember languages, or for doctors to remember medical terms. I'm sure you're grateful for those. Prayer apps to prompt us to pray for people. Reminders so that we don't neglect important duties. Tools to contact emergency services to save a life. We've got ways to love our neighbor through phone calls or messages. Ways to work more efficiently and get more done. There are so many ways that smartphones make our lives better and easier, and even help us towards our ultimate goal, our creation mandate to have dominion and to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And the technology to do this is better than it has ever been in the history of humanity. What may have taken a king, 1,000 servants to do, now takes us the touch of a button on our phone in our pocket. And if we stop there though, and we just passively engage with our smartphones and adopt them as uncritically as the world does around us, then we are ignorant of the serious dangers stemming from the corruption of such spellbinding technology. And we open ourselves to its dangerous effects at best and damningly deadly effects at worst. We need to see now the influence of sin on us and on the technology itself. So let's look at that now under corrupted by the fall. Smartphones are incredibly useful and wonderful, but they can also be incredibly consuming and incredibly damaging. And I think the secular world recognizes this reality. If you Google the books and the YouTube videos that are out there on the damages that smartphones are doing, or how it impacts people's relationship with their kids or their sleep and their mental health. And people are trying to adopt so-called dumb phones and live minimalist tech lives. But these secular books and videos, while they do point out real effects of sin and the fruits of sin, they don't properly explain why smartphones can be so damaging. And the solution of removing smartphones or making them less smart, whilst it is maybe helpful, it's inadequate in dealing with the root problem. The Bible reveals a clear reason for their danger and damage. It's because of humanity's sin and corruption, which we first see in Genesis 3, and it's human sin that leads to death and ultimately eternal judgment. But human sin does not just remain outside of this technology. No, by extension, human sin flows into and corrupts and abuses creation and technology. Now, it's a common assumption among Christians that smartphones are just a tool, a neutral technology that can be used for good or for evil. And yes, we've seen they really can be used for the beautiful and glorious and good end for which we were created, to glorify God and enjoy Him. But we need to go one step back and we need to think about the phone itself. Is it itself just a neutral technology? And perhaps to dissect that question a bit, or to even phrase it differently, were smartphones created in a sin-free vacuum without sinful human beings behind them as they engineered and designed them specifically for people that want to love and glorify God and love their neighbor? Is that how they were created? And I think all of us would agree that is certainly not the case. Sin and sinful human beings are certainly involved in the creation of this technology. But that doesn't mean we immediately go and throw them away. Because nothing in our world other than Jesus Christ has ever been sin-free. But it does mean that unless we see how these phones are affected by sin, unless we see how they can be damaging to us, and how they lead us away from love and worship of God, unless we see these things, then we are in great danger. And combined with that, the adversary that Christians have, the devil, whose desire is to tempt, to crush, to destroy Christians, the smartphone can become a powerfully destructive soul weapon that sits in our pockets. We must go into critically looking at our technology before we adopt it. Let's look at some ways in particular that smartphones can be dangerous. First, smartphones are designed to be addictive. Their nature is often consuming. Notifications popping up every now and again, they give you the irresistible urge to look at your phone and just to unlock it and just to check if there's something new. Apparently 50 to 100 times a day on average. And most of the apps that companies design are meant to keep people coming back and using their product, with little to no real care about the effects of people using them, as long as the companies get their money. And it's so common today for someone, including Christians, and I'm guilty of this, and I've been really challenged thinking through this, to get to the end of a long day, or even sitting on the toilet, and you see it as your leisure time just to sit and scroll through reels on YouTube or my feed on social media. Yet I hadn't stopped to ask the question, is this just me passively adopting the technology, and does it ever bring me real rest? Is it actually taking me away from getting real rest, like taking a nap or reading an edifying book or just letting my brain think and be normal bored, not be mentally stimulated all the time? For a Christian who comes to church on a Sunday and hears a pastor for half an hour, exhort them in the Bible like this. What is that when drowned out by every spare moment, uncritically spent on their smartphone, absorbing YouTube reels and social media feeds? Is there good Christian content on some of these? Absolutely. But is that why you're on there in the first place? Or is that what we see a majority of the time? Smartphones can be incredible soul-edifying technology, like we mentioned, Bible apps or even sermons on podcasts helping us in the worship of God and love for neighbor. But with uncritical use, they can more easily be tools for mind distraction and soul destruction. It can almost completely squash a Christian's joy and love for God, lulled by the world in their pocket. There's also questions around what is taking our attention. Are we designed as humans to have every world event pushed into our faces one split second after the other? Watching a bombing in Iran, and then the next minute a child receiving sight for the first time, and then a dog chasing its tail. It's an emotional overload. And we develop a kind of numbness and a kind of sensitivity just to cope with the endless bombardment of stimulation. And after this endless bombardment, include joy at our Strava feeds, stress from our emails, texts of love from our relatives, and we're too empty and anxious and tired to set our minds on things above. Were we even designed for people to be in contact with us almost 24/7? Is that healthy? It seems almost expected now. And again, what about rest? Or deep and meaningful relationships that come through in-person catch-ups and not moments on a screen? How does this affect Christian community and selfless love for the saints? Do you have anything left to give? And this is all without considering the next point, how smartphones open us up to even more danger. They enable us to advance and act on the sin in our hearts. Not only does pornography get pushed in our faces, in advertising on social media, curated by an algorithm that wants your attention no matter what the cost. And if you indulge that stuff, it will give you more. But it further gives you immediate access to porn websites or pages on Instagram or apps or AIs that help the sin in our hearts to be acted upon and fester. It's almost impossible to escape such sin in such an environment because that is exactly how it's designed to capture and to keep you. Or another thing for high school students. It enables bullying and peer pressure to enter the confines of a high school student's bedroom where they once were immune. People can say hateful and nasty things over text, which they probably wouldn't otherwise say to someone's face. And all of this barely touches the tip of the iceberg. Smartphones are incredibly powerful, potentially soul-edifying technology, but they are also incredibly dangerous, potentially soul-destroying. So what do we do? If keeping them presents so much danger, do I need to get rid of it? Maybe. Maybe. But maybe not. And let's look at some principles from Scripture in the short time that we have left that might help us to make the right decisions on our smartphone use. Let's look at our relationship to smartphones redeemed in Christ. If you are a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, then for you, believer, Christ has defeated the power of sin and death. If you have repented, you hate your sin and you've confessed it all to Christ and you've rested on him for forgiveness, there is now no condemnation for those, for you who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans chapter 8 verse 1. And Christ's work in you by his Holy Spirit means that he is working in you to grow you in holiness and in love for him. And if you are really struggling with sin or you've committed sin in the areas that we've talked about tonight, put your phone down and run to Jesus. And you will find forgiveness and love in the great high priest whose name is love, who died as the sinless savior so that your sinful soul would be counted free. Yet just because we are forgiven doesn't mean we aren't still in a constant battle with sin. We still have a nature that's tempted by sin. Though our new nature in Christ, we can hate it, and we won't find the same joy in it, but it is still a real temptation. And the reality is, as already outlined, the Christian life is a real battle. And now the front line is in our pockets. So what do we do with them? Well, firstly, it's not enough to do a cost-benefit analysis. If there is anything that is killing your soul, Jesus says in Mark 9 verse 43, and if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. What's the cost-benefit analysis there? Ant helps me to eat. It helps me to brush my hair, just do almost everything. But it doesn't even matter in comparison to sin. Jesus says, cut it off. Cut it off. That's the radical nature of our fight with sin. It's better to enter life without a smartphone than with a smartphone to go to hell. Perhaps you have tried some smartphone restrictions, but you can't kill that one sin. Maybe you do. Maybe you do need to just get rid of your phone. It's radical, but it's not impossible. But it might be something you have to do so that you can glorify God and enjoy Him as you were meant to. But chances are, for most of you, our smartphone usage can be redeemed for the glory of God. As we critically and intentionally, not passively, intentionally think about how we can use it to love and glorify God and enjoy Him. And following that, love our neighbor as ourselves in Matthew 5:39. We need to ask the question about our hearts and about our worship. Is my smartphone serving my God-made purpose for the entire love and devotion to Him? And by extension, true love to my neighbor? Or am I passively being guided along by whatever is being thrown at me on a screen? And I'm not just referring to social media. This includes the constant stream of emails, bank balance checking, stock price checking, text messages, pings on my screen, my Apple News feed. Do I have healthy limits and boundaries that help me to use the wonderful God-glorifying aspects of this technology without neglecting other areas of my life, like rest, or even just having less stimulation so I can enjoy God more and love others properly? I want to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, where the Apostle Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. In chapter 10, verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Am I being mastered by something that is allowable? Am I being mastered by it? Am I enslaved by something that's not necessarily wrong in and of itself? Is the way I'm potentially using it potentially unhelpful or even destructive to another person, either on the other side of the screen or those I'm not talking to by being on my screen? Consider Psalm 90, 10 to 12. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Is your smartphone usage in accordance with the numbering, the short span of your life before you enter eternity? Well, one more passage, Ephesians 5, which Scott read for us, verse 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Brothers and sisters, let me phrase this more positively. If you use your smartphones, go and use your smartphones for worship. Go and use your smartphones for worship. Rightly, with the right restrictions, go and use them for worship. They can be dangerous. They can be very dangerous. But in the hands of a discerning and wise Christian, they can be powerful tools to build God's kingdom. Finally, I want to give a short point using smartphones as we long for heaven. And for this, I actually just want to read you one quote from John Piper, who writes this at the beginning of the book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. He said, I wish I could give every young adult the taste of eternity that grows more intense as you enter your eighth decade. A happy consciousness of the reality of death and the afterlife is a wonderful liberator from faddishness and empty-headed screen tapping. I say happy consciousness because if all you have is fear, your smartphone almost certainly becomes one of the ways you escape the thought of death. But if you rejoice in the hope of the glory of God because your sins are forgiven through Jesus, then your smartphone becomes a kind of friendly pack mule on the way to heaven. Mules are not kept for their good looks. They get the job done. Now, before we finish, I want to leave you with some tools as you continue the task of thinking critically and discerningly about how and whether you should use your smartphones in relationship with Christ. The first is a podcast called The Smartphone Disciple by the Center for Christian Living podcast. And I recommend you go and listen to all three episodes. There are three, but they present some really helpful content and practical tips on this topic. Next is a book released last year called Scrolling Ourselves to Death, Reclaiming Life in a Digital Age. And this is a sobering read, but it is a helpful read. And it helps us to think more broadly about how smartphones affect us and our worship. Go and get a copy and read it in the spare time that you now have that you're not scrolling as much. And it will be a really helpful book to you. And I also recommend the book 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. It's also a fantastic book, but I'd probably read it after the one I just recommended, Scrolling Ourselves to Death. For some practical ways for you to put boundaries in place on your smartphone, there are devices that can help you. There's one called a Brick, which I was gifted for my birthday last year, and it's ended up being fantastic. It locks apps until you physically tap it again, so you actually have to go up to it, and it opens them when you go back and open it up for you to use. But that just means you can't check everything all the time. And I love this, and I'd say if you are using that, lock more apps than you think, because you don't need to check your email all the time. And it really is lovely to have the brain space and almost soul space to enjoy life in all its colors, and most importantly, enjoy God in his word and prayer. There are software limiters, but I don't find these work as well, and they're quite easy to get around. Delete apps on your phone that are destroying love for God, or if they aren't being used primarily for the purpose of worshiping God and for loving your neighbor, and get past the phase of, oh man, I just want to watch a video, or oh man, I just want to unwind and scroll, and let your brain relax. It's like getting over an addiction, and it is an addiction. This is what these apps are designed for. So get past that point and let your brain relax. And there are web pages and articles. I haven't put any here, but I'm sure you'll find some online. I might even try to send some out over email during the week on how you can turn your phone into something less stimulating, like turning off notifications and grayscaling your phone, things like that. And I'll see if I can send some of those resources out. But genuinely, the most important thing is don't just get rid of things and make boundaries. We need those. But be sure to be spending time filling your heart and your mind with love for Christ. Because it's only when Christ remains at the center that you can truly keep killing sin. Otherwise, these things will just creep back in. It's the only way you can keep killing sin. Fill your heart and mind with Christ and use your smartphone for his glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the great gift of technology. And we thank you that you've given us your word to expose our sin and show us, Lord, how dangerous the effects of sin are in our world. But we thank you especially for Jesus Christ and that you sent him to die on our behalf, taking the penalty we deserve. That as we come to you and trust in you, Lord, that we are forgiven and we're welcomed into your family. And Lord, that we're promised an eternal inheritance that's free from sinful distraction where we can worship you forever. Lord, we pray that we would long for that day and set the purpose every moment of our lives as you've intended, to glorify and to enjoy you, to put sin to death, to not keep these trivial things treasured up in our hearts, sinful things. Help us to put sin to death. For those especially struggling with difficult sin, help them in killing this sin and treasuring you more than anything else. And help us, Lord, not to live in this world as distracted believers, but Lord, as saints that walk knowing our purpose, knowing our calling, seeing you glorified and proclaiming Christ as the chief joy and delight in our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.